It's where I'm starting this morning. I'm going to Romans chapter 6, so if you want to go to Romans and hold that. And then I have several scriptures intermingled with that this morning. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Paul got around the smartest people of the day. And when he left them realizing that the only thing they wanted to hear was another round of this story that you got. They loved the stories. We liked the story, Paul. Come again tomorrow and tell us more stories. He left there. In his report, as he came back into the next town, he said, I will preach nothing. I've decided to preach nothing but Christ and him crucified. Now, certainly he preached other aspects of that, but his message turned. He gives us a lot throughout of how to live this Christian life, how to follow Christ, how to be his disciple. But he said, I'll only preach Christ and him crucified. And if you got the picture of Jesus, he would have been unrecognizable as a human being. If you could imagine that with all of the beating that he took, that exposed his flesh and exposed his inner parts and the infection that would have come from that. There was no way that he could have survived it. As a matter of fact, they set a limit of 39 lashes because it was believed that the 40th, it was so bad that the 40th lash would have killed him. And it was administered by someone trained in punishment. And it wasn't just some anybody whip him 39 times. It was somebody trained to inflict pain methodically and rip his skin from his body. So they did that to him, but before they did that, they plucked his beard out. Men that have beards, I usually have one. I can only imagine what that feels like. And certainly I felt the slightest amount of pain having grandchildren who gave it their best tug. But to imagine what Jesus felt, to have his hair pulled from his face, to have a crown of thorns put into his head and pressed down, and the blood that flowed from him, to have a spear driven into his side, to have his hands and his feet nailed to a cross. I'm saying all that because of this. The crucified Jesus that Paul preached, and he said, I will preach Christ and him crucified, is because they remembered the picture. They remembered what they saw that day. There was nothing like it. There were certainly other crucifixions, but there was nothing like the one that Jesus experienced. And to remember that, I will preach Christ and his crucifixion. Because if you were going to come to Jesus and remember him crucified, there's no way that you could touch him without touching blood and touching his blood and his perfect, precious blood. And Paul reminds us over and over again, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. What an incredible mystery that is. How can that happen? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Crucifixion equals death. They understood that. There was no surviving. It was a death sentence. Crucifixion meant death. I am crucified with Christ. I am dead with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. He's painting a picture of the miraculous because the only thing on record surviving death is Jesus Christ. And Christ in me, the life that I now live is Christ inside of me. If you'll look at Romans chapter 6, I'm going to read 13 verses. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Michelle opened up with that same thing this morning. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. There's a way we used to be. There's a way that we are now through Christ. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Can you say amen? Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. For the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also, look at your neighbor and say, you too, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. Say instruments. The song that we sang this morning, it mentioned instruments, how we are instruments. When it talks about instruments right here, it's actually talking about weapons. Now read it like that. Present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments or weapons of righteousness to God. So to go back to the beginning of that verse, 13. And do not present your members as weapons of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God being alive from the dead and your members as weapons of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. Your praise is a weapon. When we come into this place together, it's wonderful that we're all in one mind and one accord. I mean, that's top rung stuff. But when we get the picture that our praise is a weapon, and we should come loaded for the enemy, right? Michelle said that thing about enemy, get ready to run. You don't even have to tell him that. Do you know that really, scripturally speaking, I know that we say that. I know that that's an easy one to get behind and say, yeah, get the devil or tell him no, or only thing, put your foot on his neck, whatever. But scripturally speaking, we only got to tell him one thing. The Lord rebuke you in the name of Jesus. That's how you weaponize the instrument of your mouth. Begin to speak praise. Weaponize that. Weaponize it. Use it. So 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells me about my new identity. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Behold, the word behold means look and see. It's not talking about Jesus right there. It's not saying look at Jesus. It's saying look at you. Look at me. How many of you know that you belong to him? If you belong to him, then you fit into this passage right here. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That tells me that he's saying, look at the one who says that they belong to me. And the proof is that their actions say that they do, and that their actions come into agreement that something has changed. If something has changed inside of you, then change has happened inside of you. And it's one thing to tell somebody, I'm something now. It's another thing for them to say, what happened to you? Because change took place. Has seeing anything ever happened in your life that the old guy would have handled it a different way? Come on, somebody. I'm telling you. But that right there, when you know that what's inside, I hear my grandbaby. That thing cuts through a preach. That little voice right there cuts right through a preach, I'm telling you. Where was I? Let me go back. Thank you for that one, Holland. I have a new identity in Christ. So my life is the proof. And according to what it says right here, my life should be proving something. And here's the thing is, it is, because His Word says it is. And you can't fake that with people. Well, you can fake it, but they'll know the difference. And you'll end up fooling just you. And that makes just you the fool all by yourself. In the outward appearance. How does this work? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. How does that work? In the outward appearances, I live as others do. In the natural sense, I'm alive. You can't tell the difference between me and someone else is alive. That we're both alive. They get that. But it's talking about not just the natural, but inwardly. He's living inside of me according to His Spirit. So now I live in the flesh. I'm still in this flesh, but I'm not living after the flesh. My flesh does not lead me anymore. I can control it. Look at your neighbor and say, you can control it. You can control it. You've got a new identity. I'm crucified with Christ. My life is the proof. The way I live now is proof. Now, flip over a couple pages to Romans 8. If you were at 6, do the math. You just got a little bit to flip over, and you'll be right there. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. This is such a powerful. No condemnation. I know I've said this many times, but this is the one picture that I get in my mind. I was on my way going through a little poor town in South Carolina, and I was going to rabbit hunt. And I passed by this little poor town and saw this one house, and it was plastered. I could see it from the road. It was a sheet of paper, but I could see it condemned. Condemned. It was a row of houses, but that one was condemned. And what that meant, legally speaking, is that someone had gone in and assessed that house and said it's so dangerous that no one can live inside of those walls. It'd be dangerous to come in here. It's condemned. And that's what the enemy wants to tell you, that you've done too much, that you are condemned, and there's no way that Christ could live inside of you, but that's just not true. And that is the enemy lying. And we should live our lives like Christ is alive inside of us, if He is alive inside of us. Because He's alive, and He wants to be alive inside of us. So, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Just go ahead and affirm your neighbor. I know He's talking about you. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So that, how many times have I preached that? There's two ways that we can walk. We can walk according to the Spirit, or we can walk according to the flesh. So the ones that walk according to the Spirit, there's no condemnation for them. So if there's no condemnation, that means that Christ lives inside of them. But if they're not living according to the Spirit, then they're living according to the flesh. So if you feel condemnation, that means you've been feeding your flesh, because flesh is where Christ is not going to live. And you can control your flesh, and you actually must. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. So He's drawing a correlation and He's drawing a line right here. Your actions let us know. My actions would let you know. And I hope that my actions let you know that I'm living and walking according to the Spirit. And it's saying plainly right there, my flesh couldn't do it. The weakness of my flesh, this law, my flesh couldn't keep it. The Old Testament, those 613 laws that some people still try to live by, it's impossible because the Word says you can't. That was the curse of the law. But Jesus covered that for me. I will choose that. I will cling to that. So I'm not under that. For those who live according to the flesh, set their minds. That's it right there. Set their minds. Say, set their minds. We're going to come back to that in just a second. On the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Their mind goes there first. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You set your mind according to the flesh, or you set your mind according to the Spirit. We've preached that over and over. For to be carnally minded is death. To be fleshly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Peace. Somebody say peace. No, peace. There's a peace. Because this carnal, fleshly mind is enmity against God. It hates God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. It's impossible. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, He is not His. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead, that's resurrection power, dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to deed the deeds of the body, you will live. If you put to death those deeds. Another translation says if you mortify those things. If you kill those things. There's things that you got to kill. I can't kill them for you. And you can't kill them for me. I can only kill them for myself. And it says if you do these things. There's another place in 2 Peter it talks about that. It talks about not stumbling in our Christian walk. And it says this. If you do these things. So if makes it conditional. Say conditional. You makes it what? Personal. Followed by an action. If you take responsibility to do the action, there will be an outcome that's either positive or negative. Now, if you do your part and you do the work, it'll be a positive thing. But if you just let the thing go, well, then you've already taken the action. By not taking any responsibility, by not moving forward. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. That's all I gave him on that, so I'm going to move on. Turn one more to Colossians chapter 3. How many of y'all thankful the pollen's just about gone? Some of y'all might be saying, Pastor, we want that pollen to stick around a little bit longer if it means you preach shorter and shorter. My voice gets to going. Colossians chapter 3. If then you were raised with Christ, resurrection power. He lives inside of you. seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind, there it is again, that's what it said in Romans 8, setting our mind. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth. That word set is like a broken bone. It's like taking a bone and setting it. Has anybody in this room ever broken a bone? Should have drank that milk, right? Should have drank more milk. But it's like when they reset a bone and there's been a break, like a compound fracture, there's a calcification that takes place. They say, you might break it again, but you probably won't break it right there. And I'm telling you, if you set your mind, you won't break again if you set it on Christ. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I'm crucified with Christ. Say that. I'm crucified with Christ. Say, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication. Here comes a list. Uncleanness. Passion. Evil desire. These are those flesh things. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. We're not going to get away from it. But it can be who we were, not who we are. And there's another proof right here that he's expecting those things when he comes into our life for us to begin to mortify or kill those things so they're not there anymore. They're not a part of our life anymore. You once lived in those things, but now, somebody say now, you yourselves are to put off all these. Anger? Look here. Anger's a tough one. It's a tough one. Somebody knows that anger's tough. You know anger's tough? Say it's tough. Anger's tough. He calls us to at least let our fuse get longer. Let my fuse get longer. Somebody told me one time, he said, you need to pray that your fuse will get longer. And then you need to pray that it'll get longer. And then you need to pray that your fuse will get so long that it will burn out before you blow up. That's pretty good. I got a picture of that in my mind. Put away anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man according who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free. But Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, he said, put these things off, but put these things on. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. It's a must. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So he says, put these things off and put these things on. And then he says, above all else. And then he says this, here are the things. Let the peace of God rule your hearts. It's like a referee inside of you that would call it safe or out. There are things that are okay for you, and there are things that are not. And His Holy Spirit will help make a ruling inside of you that you'll obey. Have you ever watched something and like baseball, and it was obvious that the guy got called out and he was safe? Or it was obvious that he was safe and he got called out. And then they show a replay of it, and you're like, it's just so frustrating to know a game could be won or lost because of a bad call. Well, let me tell you, that translates over into our life. This game of life can be won or lost because of a bad call, but we're the ones who make the call. His Holy Spirit will make a ruling inside of you, and it will be surrounded by His peace. But you'll know if you cross the line. You'll know if you made a bad call. It'll be evident to you that inside of you. It'll be there because Christ lives inside of you. The Lord showed me something one time. It's like, tell them this. Like, when they get saved, this is what He does for you. He takes you out of that condemned house and puts you in a new house. So now you've got a new address to live in and a new place to live. The problem is when you get caught living back in your old address. See, that doesn't glorify Him. We need to put to death those things and not revisit those places inside of us. So He says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. You know the wisest thing that you can do is not, now what did Mom say about that? Should I do that? What did Dad teach me about that? Or what did they say at school about that? What did the coach say I should do about that? Have the Word of God inside of you. That takes away all doubt. What's the Word say? What's the Word say? Because Mom and Dad could be wrong. In trying to do their very best, they could still be wrong. What's the Word say? What's the Word say about that? Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing. Teaching and admonishing. To teach something, according to that word right there, when we should, it says, so we should let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing. That means two things right there. Teaching and admonishing, they're not the same thing. But in this content right here, in context of this word teaching, it means to warn them. Warn them. There's a lot of warning in God's Word, isn't there? But I love it that He evens it out right here and He says, teach them through warning, but admonish them. Teaching and admonishing. Because admonishing means this, the impartation of positive truth. It means not just the warning, but why. There's a reason that you need to be warned in this area. This is not a blessing to you. Some of you just could probably sum it up like this. Stop doing the things that aren't blessing you. If you got, how many of you know there's been some things in your life that you continually would do, but you know there's no blessing in that? That's your flesh calling you back to that. Let those things go. Teaching and admonishing. So warnings, yes, but also an impartation of positive truth. Then it says something so interesting. Christine, would you come? Admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your heart. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. There's something to be said for a song that comes out of us. I found that happening in my life. The older I get, I go around humming songs. I probably seem weird to some people when I do it, but I'm not singing for them. I'm singing because the Lord has put a song in my heart. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of instruction I've given you right there. But there's also a lot of challenges that are going to come your way. There, if you could imagine that mind space, just mind space, and what's going on in our mind and the battle that's there, and all the things that the enemy tries to tack on, because what God has provided us for us is so rich, but it's not just like God just blesses you with something and you get it all at one time. There's a responsibility that comes with this. I hope that, you know, these hours that we're together, I hope it's as easy living for the Lord in these set apart times, like on Sunday morning between the hours of say 10 to 2, I make an A. I do really good serving the Lord. It's not that hard when I come to church and I'm with my brothers and sisters, but if I'm not careful, how many of you know 10 to 2 is gone and everybody at church is gone and the music's gone and the preacher's quit preaching and I'm all by myself again? And that's fear comes in and doubt comes in. Troubles come in and I can get overwhelmed, right? And sometimes we bring that in here and that's okay. This is a great place to dump those things. But I'm telling you, I believe this, if you start singing to God who He is and let a song come out of you, it will help set your mind and bring your mind and give you a reset back to who He is. Amen, somebody. But I ask you to stand and sing this with me. You know, God gave me this little definition of what faith is. And we're supposed to have faith. I just read you a scripture that says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Didn't we just read that? It's impossible to please Him. But you know what faith is? Faith is when worry and doubt and fear try to come into your life, but there's a collision that takes place with trust. Let me say that again. Because some of you just got that. And that just caught up to you. It took a second to catch up to you. When you've got faith, it doesn't mean that fears won't come. But it means that there's a collision that's getting ready to take place with trust. That's what faith is. Every time something comes against you, I dare you to let a song well up inside of you. And let that faith collide with trust in God. Would you sing that with me, Chris?